Welcome back to another episode of the Playing Hooky Bow Fishing Podcast. I'm your host, Captain Cody, and today I'm going to recap the 2023 season. I know it's already February here, so we're probably a lot of us are kind of already thinking about 2024, but I always like to look back at the season and share a little bit of my experiences. I don't know. I like sharing them because, you know, I learned a lot and maybe somebody else can learn something from my experiences telling them. So we're going to go through the 2023 season and yeah, I'll kind of share, you know, things I ran into, things I saw out there. And yeah, my 2023 season started by going down and getting a boat. I talked about this on a previous episode, but I went down to Tennessee, grabbed a boat because I sold my other one, and then brought it back to Minnesota and got it all ready for the season. I got a 2084 with, it was a kicker system with a cable pulley system to steer it, and all the controls were run up to the front of the boat. That is how I bought it, and when I got it, I left the steering how it was, and I took the outboard kicker that was on there off and put a mud motor, a Pro Drive mud motor on there for the kicker, and then hooked the steering up to that, and then ran the throttle and trim and all the controls up to the front so that I could steer it up there just like the outboard. And so that was my rig this year. I loved it. It ended up being really great. I thought it was going to be really great, and it exceeded my expectations. There were, you know, it was a bigger boat than what I had before. But even being in a bigger boat, I was able to get shallower than my previous boat because of that mud motor. And it's so wide that that weight gets dispersed pretty well. So that was super awesome. I was able to get into areas I've never really gotten before with my old boat. I had a trolling motor boat before this one. So yeah, definitely love the upgrade, and it served me well this year, and I plan to run it here for several years before getting out of it. So yeah, that was how I started. So it was an exciting start for me here. And then the open is kind of how the season usually kicks off for me. There was an episode about that as well. If you want to go back and hear about our experience down there, it was that last weekend in April. And so that happened. That was fun, a good time. And then came back to Minnesota after that and started guiding. So that beginning of May is when I had the first clients of the year, and we had a really weird water year this year. So early in the spring, that kind of like March, April, May time, the water was super high, like really like record highs. And so the river systems that I spend most of my time on were so high, so dirty, so fast, so cold that it wasn't super great bow fishing out there. So for those first few trips, I drove probably an hour and a half to 2 hours away to a couple of lakes that I knew had some fish in them, and kind of went in blind and took clients out there. And you know, it was a little bit of a learning curve. It's not really like the river systems that I fish over where I'm at, but we were still able to get on some fish and some really big ones too. There were some really, really big fat carp over there. So ran into a couple other guys bow fishing over there, got to talk to them, people that I don't normally see because it's kind of on a different part of the state than where I usually am. So that was nice. And then after that first weekend of the season, then I was able, the water levels kind of stabilized a little bit. They were still high, but like normal high. And so Then I was able to come back on familiar waters over here on the river systems and had the normal kind of flooding into the backwaters and some of the fields getting water in them, and was able to capitalize on that. Yeah, May, the rest of May then was pretty typical. We shot some of the bigger fish that we see all year. Some of those commons in that, you know, 30 to 40 plus pound range, really, really big fish. A lot of them are still out there swimming because I have a lot of clients that still are having a hard time hitting the targets. So a lot of those fish are still out there and roaming around, and we're going to try and get them this year in 2024. So May was really good. We shot a lot of fish and a lot of big fish. Cooked up some buffalo that month as well. You know, I've eaten gar and some other rough fish here and there, but I hadn't really grilled buffalo myself, so I did that. It was delicious. 10 out of 10 recommend. Yeah, it's really white and flaky, and if you season it right, it's awesome. I just wrapped it in tin foil, put it on the grill. Super good. So that was great. Then we'll jump over to June. June was also really good. It was weird though. The water levels started dropping like way faster than they normally do. And so right at the beginning of June, all of a sudden things were starting to dry up and we were having a little bit of a harder time getting into some of the backwaters that we normally get in June. I don't know why it dropped so fast, but it went from super, super high, fast, dirty, gross water to like plummeting down. And by the time we got to the middle of June, it was at like summer pool already. And usually that doesn't happen until like middle of July. So that was strange. Before it really dropped like a rock, the fishing was really, really good. We were starting to get on a lot more numbers of fish. Didn't really run into any spawning, which was kind of weird. In May, we were shooting fish with eggs in them. And then once we got to June, it was kind of like, I don't know if I missed it or if the water dropped too fast to where they kind of held off. I don't really know what happened, but it was strange. And so we didn't really see a lot, which was a lot of fish with eggs in them at that point, which is not typical for up here that time of year. Get to the end of June and we already started getting mayflies hatching, like a big hatch. A lot of you probably know what mayflies are. They're those big winged insects and they swarm light. So anytime those come out, bow fishing is less fun in my opinion, because they're kind of covering everything and just swarming and it's not fun. So they came out towards the end of June, middle of the end of June. And usually up here, they aren't really out until the month of July. So that was strange and kind of ruined my plans a little bit. I usually stay on the body of water that I'm on in June pretty much the whole month, and then I don't move to the next one until July, but I had to move a little bit early because the mayflies were so bad. And the one I moved to in July, the reason I go there is because the mayflies don't really hatch out there, and so I basically do it just to get away from the mayflies for a month, and then by the time August rolls around, they're usually kind of wrapping up, and I head back to where I was in June. But this year, I had to go to that other body of water early. It's a clearer body of water, and so it takes a little bit longer for the weeds to develop out there, and so that was kind of interesting. We were out there early, and so there wasn't much for weed growth, and we were kind of just pounding shorelines, doing our best to find fish that way. And we found some and actually ended up finding some new spots out there because of that. But just was a weird year that way as well. So then we got to July and stayed out on that body of water that we had to get to early, and started seeing the weeds developing and things really started picking up out there. A lot more numbers of fish, and actually ended up finding a lot of big carp out there as well. And we hadn't really, that body of water is, there's a lot less invasive species out there. So we see, I mean, there's still common carp. I mean, there's common carp everywhere, but compared to some of the other bodies of water that we're on, this one does not usually have a lot of common carp, and it's usually more like suckers, buffalo, gar, stuff like that. But this year, I don't know if it's because we were running different spots or if things are changing out there or what, but we were running into common carp kind of all over the place. And it was interesting. So I say different spots. When we were pounding shorelines, we ran across these areas that, I mean, there wasn't really any weeds, but the bottom was kind of rocky and sandy. And so I don't know if that was holding heat or what, but we were finding a lot of the common carp were holding the stuff like that versus the weeds. Even into, yeah, like when we were in the middle of July and the weed growth like developed, we would still run those rocky, sandy areas, and that's where the carp usually were. So that was kind of a little bit of a change of pace there. Broke some arrows, of course, shooting into rocks. That's always a good time. And there were some really big fish out there. I mean, even for July, I mean, we were shooting fish in that, you know, 30-pound class of fish, which is kind of uncharacteristic for that body of water that time of year. So that was super fun. So I'm going to have to see if it's the same this year or if it was just kind of a fluke. But just goes to show, you know, I mean, a lot of us are on the same bodies of water all the time, our home bodies of water, and we're pounding the same spots and doing the same thing. And sometimes it really pays to kind of go outside the box and go outside of normal and run some new spots, look at some new areas, even if it doesn't necessarily look like it's going to be a good spot to bowfish. It could be, you know, these fish kind of are all over the place and a lot of different things dictate their movements. And so definitely worth exploring. Something I like to do every time I go out, whether I have clients or not, every night, if I can, I try and run at least one new spot. So I'm constantly learning and gaining more, sometimes spots, sometimes, you know, just knowledge, but it helps kind of keep you on your toes and keep you sharp. So something I would recommend doing, even if it's just like, you know, you usually stop like in the middle of the shoreline and you don't ever go further. Maybe this time, you know, you go and finish the shoreline out. It can be something as simple as that, but definitely worth it. It'll help you find more spots. It'll help you become a more well-rounded bowfisher. It'll help with tournaments because that's pretty much what you're doing with tournaments, right? You're going and you're just running spots and you're looking for fish. And so if you're already kind of doing that on your home bodies of water and learning more that way, it's going to help you in the tournament realm as well. So something I like to do and I recommend. But yeah, July, we ended up leaving that body of water, the normal July body of water, a little bit early. That one's a little bit further of a drive for me, and so I wanted to head back to something a little closer and see if I could get out and, you know, not run into a bunch of mayflies. And sure enough, there weren't any mayflies when I came back. This is like middle of July now. And again, usually there's mayflies at this point, but for some reason there weren't this year. So I don't know. Seems like everything was maybe a little early. Maybe that's what it was. But yeah, so middle of July, I headed back to the body of water closest to my house. And that was probably the best thing that I could have done. July, that second half of July, arguably might have been the best stretch of time that we had bow fishing this year. I cannot believe how many big carp were out in that second half of July. It was nuts. And because of the water levels, we had gotten a little bit of rain, so it went up a little bit. And of course, July is warm, so everything was really warmed up. We actually found spawning carp in the second half of July. And, you know, I know a lot of us probably already know, you know, carp can spawn multiple times a year. And, you know, they just need the right conditions to line up. And then whatever time of year it is, if all the conditions line up, they can spawn. Well, that's what they did in July. Everything lined up and we're out there driving that first night looking around. And yeah, sure enough, they're pushing up against each other. They're all splashing everywhere. I mean, it was awesome. So yeah, we ran into a bunch of really, really big carp and shot actually a lot of mirrored carp and shot, I'll post a picture of this one as the thumbnail. I don't know if you'd call this a leather carp, if you'd call it a mirror carp, but I shot a carp with no scales and I have never seen one like that before. So, you know, if you look at the thumbnail and you know what it is, you know, put a comment in there for me and or shoot me a direct message or something and tell me a little bit about that, because I thought that was really interesting. Never seen anything like that before, so that was super cool. Yeah, just a really awesome second half of July, and there's nobody out there. We were, the whole month, I didn't see another bow fishing boat at all, on either body of water for that matter. I don't know what it is. It seems like most people bow fish the spring and then June and then stop, but at least up here they do. Maybe in other places they don't, but I just cannot believe, like, I'm on one of the main river systems in the state, probably the main river system in the state, and so it's not like I'm on some hole in the wall place. You know, everybody knows about these stretches of river that I'm on. People are out there in the springtime. There's tournaments out there, like all kinds of stuff. But nobody was out there in, well, for that matter, July, August, September, there was nobody. And the fish are all there, and if not, even more so there than they are in the spring. So if you're listening to this and you're one of those folks that just kind of throw it in after June goes by, I want to encourage you to keep going and spend some more time out there, because like I said, July probably was the best month that I had out there. So you're missing out if you're not out there. And that kind of just carried into August. We only had spawning activity for a little bit in July, and then it kind of died down, but all the carp were still there. They were all up on the shallow flats, and yeah, we're just basically, I mean, the stuff that we're hitting out on these river systems a lot of times is, you know, you have the main channel that goes through, it's all marked with buoys, you can see it on a map, and then you have some of these side areas where it comes way, way up, super shallow, and then turns into just a giant flat, so it's shallow for miles. And a lot of times there's going to be, you know, weeds, logs, algae, whatever in there. And so the combination of that cover and that warmer water, you know, it's going to be, if you're in the summertime here and you got sun, that stuff's going to heat up. So it's going to hold the heat after dark. The carp and all the other rough fish are going to slide up there and be there at night. So that's kind of the stuff we're looking for, especially if it's right next to deep water. It seems like they really, that's important. I mean, you can go way, way back in some of these like backwater flat areas and go like as far back as you can so that you're super disconnected from that deep water. And there'll be some fish in there. Like, you know, you'll shoot a carp or two. There's usually a lot of drum in there, but the bigger concentration of bigger fish, at least in our experience, seem to be, you know, that shallow flat stuff that's close enough to deep water that they can just slide back in there when they're ready to do that. I think it makes them feel safer, you know, something, a bird like an eagle or something flying over, owl, whatever. If they start seeing things like that, they can just really quick, you know, tail flip into the deep water where they can't dive down and get them. I don't know, but that's kind of where we were getting the tickets punched, was right in stuff like that. If you can find the right kind of weeds, I think we've talked about it on here before, but the right kind of weeds will filter the water a little bit and kind of help you see a little bit better. A lot of times the carp are in the dirtiest part, of course. We've all seen the mud clouds and the wakes going by, but you can't actually see the fish. Yeah, that's where we see them a lot of times. And I always wonder, are they there because it's dirty and they feel safer? Or is it dirty because they are in there stirring it up? I don't know which is which, but either way, it seems like they go together. So if you can find kind of that line of that transition from clear to dirty water, that's where we were kind of able to, you know, you start in the dirty water and you kind of push them into that clear stuff so you can see them and get a shot off. That was kind of the game plan for us. So August and July were kind of hand in hand and worked really well. We even got on some catfish a little bit there towards the end of the summer. Once things started cooling down a little bit, we started getting a lot more catfish in the shallows. And if you've got a Wisconsin fishing license and you're on the Wisconsin side of the river up here, you can shoot them because you can't shoot them in Minnesota. So we got our Wisconsin licenses and went over to the Wisconsin side and shot a few, brought them home, ate them. 10 out of 10, they were delicious. Catfish are a little bit more accepted as a table fare, so probably not saying anything new to a lot of you, but if you haven't tried it, super good. And you know, take your bow and go grocery shopping. It's awesome. Yeah, and then we made it to September, and September usually I'm kind of transitioning from bow fishing to musky fishing. I do quite a bit of musky fishing up here in Minnesota, and so spend a lot more time doing that. But I did still run several bow fishing trips in September, and September is a really fun month to bow fish. The fish are, I mean, after you spend some time on the water, you can kind of predict their movements no matter what month it is, but in September you can really predict them. All you have to do is wait for that cold snap and get those first couple of cold nights, and all the fish kind of congregate in the grossest, shallowest, warmest water that they can find. And so we were running a lot of the shallow flats that I was just talking about, but at this point now, we are pushing up a little bit further away from the deeper water. We're getting right up against shore, and there's a lot of like algae and a lot of those like really gross weeds that grow there all summer that, you know, usually in the summertime, it's so warm and so like the water's so gross that you don't see a lot of fish in there. But when it gets cold in September or colder, those fish all congregate to that super warm water to get away from the cold. And so we were pushing way, way shallow. You know, you're shooting at fish where their backs are almost coming out of the water. Super fun fishing. And then we're also hitting a lot of the really, really shallow sandbars. That sand holds a lot of heat. And so those first couple of hours after dark, those fish will push up onto there. And that's super fun fishing too. A lot of times they're kind of just sitting there with their head down a little bit, probably soaking up the rays of heat. And so it's really fun to sneak up on them and give them the beans. So that was kind of the walkthrough of month to month and kind of a general what we ran into. The boat held up really well. Had a couple of times where the cables that ran the steering, those wore out enough to where they broke. And so, I mean, it takes a while for them to wear down and break. So it's not like I ran into it a lot. But towards the end of the year, I had it break on me a couple of times. I'm just using that steel cabling with that kind of like rubber plastic coating around the outside. You see it like on a dog leash or a dog chain sometimes. So it's, I mean, it's heavy duty stuff, but after it wears for a while, that plastic kind of starts to come off, and then once that plastic comes off, eventually that metal will wear down. So ran into that a little bit. I keep extra on the boat, so it wasn't a big deal to just tie them back up together. And I'll take a video here this winter at some point and post it of the setup that I've got going. It's kind of unique, and it's really good for a cheaper setup. You know, you don't have to pay for hydraulic or electric steering, which is nice. You get a workout for sure, you know, manually moving that with your arm, but it works really well. It's cheap. So I'll do a video walk through that here this winter so you can see kind of what I'm working with there. But yeah, other than that, I mean, the motor with this boat is great. It's a 25 horse mud motor, so pushes us along pretty well. Yeah, had, you know, the usual, you know, people dry fire bows, put the strings back on, losing arrows. On the last episode, I mentioned I had a couple of guys go in this year for the first time, so that was kind of a bummer. Had a perfect record until this year, so the first one happened in May, and like I said earlier, that's kind of when water conditions were super high and dirty and cold and fast moving, and so some of the areas we were getting back into, you know, it looks like you can go back in there, but the water's so dirty that you can't see if there's any hazards. And so at one point we were putting along, and we were going slow because it was hard to see, and it was a super shallow area, so I wasn't like super, you know, going fast anyway. But yeah, so we're just kind of moving through here looking for fish, and then ran right into a log, and had a guy right in the front who was kind of already leaning over looking for fish. And so right when we hit that log, thankfully he almost like sensed it coming and jumped over the railing in the front and landed in the water on his feet. So that was good. He didn't like fall over and get hurt or anything like that. It was only up to his knees, I think, too. So it wasn't, I mean, it wasn't a big deal. He hopped out. He did get, I mean, pretty cold. It was May. So, you know, the water was cold and the air was cold. So that second half of the night, he was pretty chilly. But other than that, that was fine. And then the other one happened in August. And at this point, the water's super warm, so we didn't have to worry about that. But this guy had jeans and cowboy boots on, so that was kind of a bummer to fall in with that on. But kind of a similar situation. And the water wasn't like super high still, and it was a little bit clearer, but we were running sandbars. And so for those of you that haven't really done much running sandbars on a river, everything looks the same. Like all the way that the HPS lights shine in there, like sand and dirty water look the same. So you can't sometimes tell if you're heading up on a sandbar or not. And so that was one of these times where we were going along and we weren't going super fast, but fast enough to where we just ran right into a sandbar. And we all kind of fell down that time. A lot of us kind of caught each other. I had four guys out there, and he was the only one who did not get caught and fell in. So that was fun. Thankfully, it wasn't anything, you know, we weren't in any deep water. It wasn't like a life or death situation. Both times we were able to laugh it off and stuff like that. So that's good there. So yeah, that was kind of the look back at the season. A really good season. Learned a lot. Saw a lot of fish. Shot a lot of fish. Got a lot of people out bow fishing. And so yeah, was successful nonetheless. 2024, looking forward to it. I see the opens in Louisiana this year. So that's super exciting, super fun. I've never been to Louisiana at all. So really hoping I can make that work and head down there this year. I would love to just go to the state for one. And obviously Louisiana is kind of a bow fishing mecca, so something I'd love to check off the list there. So hoping to be down for that. AMS dates have been released for a while, but that's happening in May, that tournament. So excited for that. Hoping that I've got it in the calendar, and I haven't booked any trips that night specifically for that reason to be able to fish it. So that should be good as well. The world's obviously happening in Kentucky. Another one that I'm really going to try and make this year. That's a tournament that I still haven't fished yet. And I would really like to get out there and see what that tournament's all about. Kentucky is a great state to bow fish in, we all know. And so would love to head down there for that. And then, yeah, there's a lot of other local tournaments happening. For those of you in Minnesota, you know, now we're in February here. At the end of this month, we are having our LLBA annual meeting, Land O'Lakes Bow Fishing Association annual meeting. That's happening on Saturday, the 24th of February. It's in the same place. It's at noon, and we would love to have you come out there. We're going to be talking about tournament series and DNR regulations and some other things happening in the bow fishing world, would love to have you be there. You know, if it's something you've never done, we'd love to meet you. And, you know, we're just trying to grow the sport here, grow the community. So come on out, free pizza and sodas and stuff. So come on out and check that out. We'd love to see you. Other than that, 2024 is here and we're excited for this new year. For those of you that are already out bow fishing, I hope it's going well so far. Good luck and continue to shoot some fish. For the rest of us that aren't bow fishing yet, get those boats ready. Don't wait. Last year, you know, I said that a bunch and then I was the one who ended up waiting and then I was scrambling to get everything ready like the night before leaving for the open. So don't be me. Use this time to, you know, go through the bows, go through the arrows, go through the reels, go through the motors on your boats, the lights, anything that you were thinking during the season would be cool to try. Now's the time to reconfigure things. Generators, go through those. You know, change the oil and everything, fresh fuel and everything, spark plugs, whatever you got to do, get it all done now so that you don't have to do it once we're out bow fishing. That's pretty much it. Really looking forward to 2024. Thank you all for listening and for being here. And before I sign off, if you or anyone you know is wanting to book a trip up here with me in Minnesota, give me a call. Let me know. Books are open for 2024 and would love to take any of you out bow fishing and check out some of the river systems up here. Shoot some big commons, some big buffs, really nice long-nose gar. I mean, all kinds of different stuff here. So let me know if that's something you're interested in. Otherwise, we will see you on the water. Thanks, everybody.